All right, open your Bibles if you got them. We're in Exodus chapter 20. As always, you can find the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5 as well. Thou shalt not murder is the commandment, right? So when you look at statistics, you look at the numbers of people who have been killed worldwide, it can become incredibly discouraging, right? Just the reported deaths, right? Just the reported deaths, just the reported homicides through the countries. From 2000, and I just went back to 2017. So from 2017 to 2023, average is about 450 million people killed by homicide every year worldwide. Say that number with me. 450 million. It's crazy, right? It's an insane world we live in. And that doesn't even count the unreported people, right? It doesn't even take into consideration stuff that we know exists that doesn't get reported. It's been an issue from the beginning, right? If you go all the way back to the very first two children born in the Bible, Cain and Abel. What was their sin? Murder, right? Very first thing. It's been in our DNA from the beginning. It's been something that we have dealt with and we have fought with, and I can't imagine if you're somebody online or if you're somebody in here that's had to deal with that, that's had to be a person that's had to suffer a loss because someone decided to take a life of somebody you loved. I can't even imagine how hard and horrific that must be. This is a sin, a broken command that's affected millions, if not billions of people throughout the century. It's also a command that is incredibly troublesome because when you listen to preachers preach about the command, it's, for me, it can be really discouraging to listen to the commandment because I'm not sure that there is. Listen, I don't claim to know everything. Well, most things, not all things, right? No, I'm just kidding. I don't claim to know all these things, but I don't think that at times there's enough study done to what happens. So we got a lot to cover. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're just going to read this really quickly together. I know it's up and down, but let's read this commandment together. It's written the same way in Deuteronomy 5. Let's read it together, church. You shall not murder. One more time. You shall not murder. You can be seated. So in the Hebrew, which is the Old Testament language that the Old Testament books were written in, there are a multitude of Hebrew words for dying, kill, death, murder. There's a bunch of them. Roughly about 6 or 7 Hebrew words, different words are used where we are translating them die, kill, murder, several of them, right? This particular word, right, means to dash apart, to basically throw something down with such force that it's torn apart, that it's dashed apart, right? It's translated murder or kill, depending on your version, right? So I just want to make two statements about this commandment and break it down, right? So here's the first thing we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what this commandment is not, right? Because it's not some things, according to Scripture. Here's the first thing, right? It's not a prohibition of all killing. It's not. When the Bible says, do not murder, it is not a prohibition of all killing. Let's read some Scripture together. Leviticus 20. Listen to these words given to Aaron, right? And Moses regarding the law. Leviticus 20, 1 and 2, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, any Israelite or alien, that's a foreigner living in Israel, who gives any of his children to Molech, you can do your own research on the god Molech, right? Any of his children to Molech to be put to death, meaning offering their children as sacrifices to this god to worship him. The people, everybody say the people. The people of the community are to do what with those parents? Stone him. stone him. It goes on in verse 9. If anyone curses his father or mother, read it with me, church, he must be put to death. It says he's cursed his father, his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Another one, Leviticus 20:10, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, listen to this, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress, what? Must be put to death. Right? If a man sleeps with his father's wife, he has dishonored his father. Both the man and the woman must be put to death. Their blood will be on their heads. If a man sleeps with his daughter-in-law, both of them must be put to death. What they have done is a perversion. Their blood will be on their own heads. In verse 13, if a man lies with the man, as one lies with the woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death. Their blood will be on their own hands. If a man marries both a woman and her mother, it is wicked. Both he and they must be burned in the fire so that no wickedness will be among you. If a man has sexual relations with an animal, he must be put to death and you must kill the animal. If a woman approaches an animal to have sexual relations with it, kill both the woman and the animal. They must be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. Numbers chapter 35 says this. If a man strikes someone with an iron object so that he dies, say it with me. He's a murderer. All right, so let's stop right there. Listen. The Bible, when it says thou shalt not murder, our translation, is not a prohibition against all killing, right? Because he goes on to say here, the murderer shall be what? Put to death, right? Or if anyone has a stone in his hand that could kill and he strikes someone so that that person dies, that person's a murderer, the murderer shall be put to death. If anyone has a wooden object in his hand that could kill and he hits someone so that he dies, he's a murderer, the murderer shall be put to death. You get it, right? God is clearly not in this commandment saying no killing whatsoever. Everybody say, I understand, right? Because if God says you shall not murder, and then he tells these people to kill all of these people, God is clearly not against some form of the killing. Would you agree with that, church? Yes or no? Yes. Right. So you know this isn't a prohibition against it, right? What else is it not? It is not this, right? It is not about premeditation. So many preachers say the commandment is about this. It's not. Let me show you. Numbers 35, right? So they're describing the inheritance given to the 12 sons of Jacob. One of those sons' names was Levi. Levi's tribe was to get 42 cities in which to live in. They weren't given land, they were given cities. They were also instructed to be given 6 cities called cities of refuge. Now listen to this. Remember, there are a bunch of Hebrew words translated kill, strike down, die, murder. In Exodus 20, a specific Hebrew word that I'm not going to try to pronounce to you is used when he says, thou shall not kill. Most of your Bibles translate that murder, right? But thou shall not kill. Where else is that word used? It's used several times, but here's one, right? 6 of the towns that you give the Levites will be called cities of refuge. Okay, what are they for? Here's what they're for. A person who has killed someone could flee to that city of refuge. In addition, give them 42 other towns. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, right, select towns to be your cities of refuge, to which a person, check this out, to which a person who has, say it with me, killed someone accidentally may flee. That word killed right there is the exact same Hebrew word that Moses uses in Exodus 20 when he says, you shall not kill. We want to teach it at times that it's about premeditation. It cannot be because he says people who kill accidentally are the same kind of people who would kill intentionally, right? This is not a commandment just about premeditation. When I mean premeditation, I mean this. You're mad at somebody, you decide you're gonna kill that person, you go after them and kill them. That's called murder, right? Premeditation. The commandment is not about that, because he says a person killed, same Hebrew word, and he did it how? Say it with me, church. Accidentally. He goes on to say this, to which a person will flee, right? Look at verse 9 through 11? Yeah, you did it, right? So here's what I want you to know about the commandment. Two things, real quick. It is not a commandment that prohibits all killing. Say, I get it, right? It is not a commandment about premeditation. Say, I get it, right? Okay, four people. The rest of you struggling with that, right? Listen, over and over again, that Hebrew word for murder in the commandment is used to describe accidentally killing someone. You don't kill someone accidentally if you're premeditating it, right? That means it happened accidentally. And yet Scripture says that person killed someone in violation of Exodus 20, 13. You shall not kill. So it cannot be a commandment about premeditation. So what is it? What is it? It's several other things that it's not, but those are two I wanted you to hear. What is it? It is these three things. It is a commandment about a clean home. How many of you online in here love a clean house? And how many of you make sure that the people that you live with that want a clean house have a really hard job to do? All right? I like a clean home. I like an ordered home. When my daughter, who's 21, comes home for the weekend and she uses the hall bathroom, she literally leaves her clothes where they drop, right? And they lay on the floor of the bathroom where she dropped them until she leaves, right? Drives me crazy. Anybody else? Right? Drives me crazy. Right? I know that's not dirty, but it's not clean, right? Drives me crazy, right? I like a clean home. This commandment is about having a clean home. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 35. Do not pollute the land where you are. Bloodshed, everybody say bloodshed. Bloodshed does what to the land? Pollutes the land. He says, and atonement cannot be made for the land on which blood has been shed, except by the blood of the one who shed it. Do not defile the land, check this out, where you live and where I what? Make my home, God says, for I, the Lord, dwell among the Israelites. Let's be clear about something. This commandment where God says, do not kill, it is not about all prohibition against all killing, because he told them over and over in the law, if they do this, kill them. If they do this, stone them. If they do this, burn them, right? He's not against all killing. It's also not a commandment that is about premeditation. It is not, because the word used to describe kill in Exodus 20 also describes a person who accidentally kills someone. So what is it? It is a command about a clean home. Let me show you where polluted and defiled are used in Scripture so you can get a picture of what he's talking about. Psalm 106 says this, they did not destroy the peoples, right? The psalmist is writing about a history of Israel. Israel did not destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with those nations and they adopted their customs. They worshiped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was desecrated, polluted by their blood. He goes on to say, they defiled themselves by what they did, by their deeds, they prostituted themselves. Guess what happened? The Lord was angry with these people and he abhorred his inheritance. He handed them over to the nations and their foes ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them and subjected them to their power. Jeremiah 3, listen to these verses. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they will be my people. And this is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the desert. I will come to give rest to Israel. Oh, that's Jeremiah 31. I want Jeremiah 3. I'm sorry, Jeremiah chapter 3. I was reading that going, that is not going where we want to go, right? So what you're going to see is this. God says, when you shed innocent blood, you pollute and defile my land. And here's the problem with defiling my land. I live here. I make my home here. He says the same thing in Psalm 106 when he's describing the Israelites' history. They polluted the land and desecrated the land by shedding the blood of their sons and daughters and giving those children to foreign gods. Jeremiah says, if a man divorces his wife and she leaves him and marries another man, should he return to her again? Would not the land be completely what? Defiled. But you, Israel, have lived as a prostitute with many lovers. Would you, he says, now return to me, declares the Lord? Look up to the barren heights and see, is there any place where you have not been ravished? Were you not ravished by the roadside? You sat waiting for lovers, sat like a nomad in the desert. You have defiled the land with your prostitution and your wickedness. You get a picture of what the word defiled means, yes or no, right? How about this one? Last one, Genesis 34, and the rape of one of Jacob's daughters. Dinah, the daughter of Leah, right, who was with Jacob, a wife of Jacob, had been born to Jacob, went to visit the women of the land. When Shechem of Hamor, the Hivite, the ruler of the area, saw her, he took her and violated her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, get me this girl as my wife. I've raped her. Now I want her to be married to me. When Jacob heard that his daughter had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with his livestock, so he kept quiet about it until they came home, right? And then Shechem said to Dinah's fathers and brothers, let me find favor in your eyes, and I'll give you whatever you ask. Make the price for the bride and the gift I am to bring as great as you like, and I'll pay whatever you ask, only give me the girl as my wife. This is just, we didn't talk about this when we preached the Genesis. It's a terrible story. The guy rapes the girl, right? And then he wants to marry the girl. And then he says, he goes to the father of the girl and says, now I want to marry her. The father, right, has to pay a dowry. He says, I don't care what the price is. You make it as great as you want. Just let me be married to her, the girl that I raped, because their sister Dinah had been what? Defiled. Here's what I need you to understand. This commandment is a commandment about a clean home. Because Numbers 35 says this, if you defile my land by shedding innocent blood, if you defile it by shedding innocent blood, I, God says, am going to be angry. And here's why. I live here. This is my home. And I wanted you to get a picture of what defiled means. When we talk about the rape of a girl, when we talk about a nation prostituting themselves with other gods, you get a picture of what defiled means, yes or no? Shedding innocent blood is the same thing to God. It defiles his home. And those of you online and in here that care about your home would hate to have your home defiled and polluted and messy. God says this is commandment about a clean home. Shedding innocent blood defiles my home. Here's the second thing. It's about image bearers. David, I want you to go to the next one. Let's skip that one. We're gonna end with that one. Go to the last one there real quick. Let's do this one first, right? It's gonna be about love. Everybody say about love. How many of you have heard in church, right, that God is love, right? And we talk about it sometimes in a negative way, right? Because we want everybody in here and everybody online to know that God is a God of justice. Is he a God of justice? Yes. But is he a God of love? 100%. So what does that mean about this commandment? Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 5. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. We just read it. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. We saw that all over scripture, Leviticus 20, right? Here's what Jesus said. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to what? Judgment. He says this, again, anyone who says to his brother, raka, weak, pathetic, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of what? Hell. He says this, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave the gift in front of the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother first. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way. Check this out. Or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you to the officer or the jailer, and you will be thrown into prison. I tell you, you will not get out of that prison until you've paid the last penny. God says, do not murder. Jesus says, but if you're angry, everybody say angry. If you're angry with your brother and your mouth speaks out of anger, he says you're in danger or peril of judgment. So Jesus takes it to the heart, right in here. Listen to Mark 7. Jesus said this about your heart. Because I'm going to make an assumption here, right? I could be wrong, but I'm going to make an assumption that people watching online and people in here, right, that for the most of us, hopefully all of us, murder, actually shedding innocent blood, isn't something that we are planning or want to do. Can you help encourage a pastor by saying that's true? Okay. Whew. Thank you. All right. Feel better. Jesus says you can violate this commandment by being angry with your brother and letting your mouth get the best of you. So how many of you have murdered in the last week? That's not a rhetorical. You can actually raise your hand, right? How many of you are willing to be honest about being angry and letting your anger get the best of you? How many of you have murdered somebody since you've been a believer then with your mouth and heart, right? Jesus said this, by their fruit, you're going to recognize them. Not everyone who's going to say to me, Lord, Lord. That's Matthew 7. I want Mark 7. Mark chapter 7. I wrote Matthew 7 and I apologize, right? You guys don't ever get to see David, but he's the guy that has to run the screen when I'm preaching. Does anybody think that man deserves a money, a gift, right? Right? And every time I see him in the hallway after service, he is still really, really kind to me. Very, very kind to me. He went on, Jesus said, what comes out of a man's heart, or what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's what? Hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these come from inside and make us unclean. So when we talk about thou shalt not murder, Jesus says murder doesn't come from your hands. It comes from your what? It comes from your heart. We already have talked long enough to know that if something is a heart issue, it's going to be a heavy issue and it's going to be heavy-handed, meaning you're going to have a hard time getting rid of it. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things, right? It is something that's prone to deceit and it makes decisions. It's easy to be angry. James says in chapter 4, he says it this way, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Doesn't it come from your desires that battle within you? He says this, you want something and you don't get it, you what? You kill and you covet, but you can't have what you want. Listen, every person online in here gets this struggle. You get this struggle. You know how hard at times it is to keep your heart from being angry with a brother without committing murder. Yes or no? We know that. Listen, if you've been married, you know this struggle. Right? If you've been employed, you know this struggle. If you've raised children and they're still living, you know this struggle. Listen, we all know this struggle. And it's a struggle because Jesus says murder doesn't reside in your hands. It resides in your heart. He says it resides in your heart. Listen to this passage in Ephesians 4. He says this, therefore each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Everybody online, everybody here, read this with me. In your anger, do not sin. Listen, if somebody said to you, if a pastor said to you, listen, we should never, ever, 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 ever get angry, you would have a hard time listening to that pastor ever again, because you and I both know it's impossible to live in this world and not get angry. Yes or no? Right? He says this, in your anger, don't what? Sin. Well, where does the sin come from when you're angry? It comes from your mouth. Because he says, out of the mouth, what we speak is an overflow of our what? Of our heart. So guess what words do? Words have the ability to kill. Listen to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 says this, the tongue has the power of what? Life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Listen, here's what I want you to know about this command. First and foremost, it is about a clean home. God says, I do not want my land where I live and I dwell to be defiled by innocent blood. Jesus says it's a command about love because he says murder comes from your heart. And what did scripture say in Matthew 22? It says this, you, right, hearing that Jesus silenced the Sadducees, Pharisees got together, asked him a question, right? What's the greatest commandment, right? They want to know, teacher, next verse, what's the greatest commandment? What's Jesus say? He says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He said it's the first and greatest. The second commandment's just like the first. It's what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, if I am to give my heart to be in love with God completely and murder is in my heart, right? If I love God and I love my neighbor, will I act on that murderous thought in my heart? Yes or no? No, not at all. Which means in your anger, do not what? Sin. Don't sin. Listen, you don't have to pull a gun to kill somebody. The tongue has the power of life and death. Listen, I've preached for 35 years. I wish I would have practiced what I preached better when it came to this, when I was raising my children and when I was first married. Because I don't know about you, but my mouth got the best of me in those situations sometimes. I don't regret much in my life because I wouldn't be here probably if it wasn't for the life that I've lived. But I do regret the way my mouth got the best of me when it came to my family when I was young. Because it kills the same way a stone does. The same way a fire does, the same way a spear did, the same way a gun does. It has the same power. And Jesus says, if you want to honor me, if you want to keep my commandments, he says that you will understand that murder comes from your heart and your lips utter what's in here. So if you want to honor God by not keeping the commandment, it's not just about taking a life. It's about understanding taking a life starts with your heart and your mouth long before the gunshot goes off. If you love God with all your heart and you love your neighbors yourself, will you murder them? Yes or no? No, you won't. Listen now, bring that Matthew passage up, that last verse. Listen to what he says about these two commandments, right? In Matthew 22, verse 40, right? 39 and 40, right there before Galatians, right? He says all, everybody say all the law, meaning all the law, meaning the Ten Commandments too. All the law, thou shalt not murder, right? Hang on these two commandments, which two? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. This commandment about not murder is about love. Can you see that? Yes or no, church? Can you see that, church, right? Which means how many of you online, how many of you in here got some work to do when it comes to the murder in your heart and the way your mouth speaks it? How many of us got work to do? We all do, right? Now, let's wrap this up. Go back to that second one, David. Here's the last thing I want you to see what this commandment is, right? It is about image bearers. It's about image bearers, right? So let's read some verses together. Deuteronomy 19 says this. If the Lord your God enlarges your territory as promised on oath to your forefathers, and he gives you the whole land he promised them, because you've carefully followed all these laws, I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk always in his ways, then you are to set aside three more cities, these cities of refuge, right? Do this, he says, so that innocent blood will not be shed in your land, right? Which the Lord your God is giving you as inheritance, so that everybody online, everybody in here, finish this with me, so that you will not be, what kind of blood? Innocent. Everybody say innocent. He says, God, if God keeps his word and he gives you all this land and increases your territory, make three more cities of refuge for anybody who sheds innocent blood. Because why? We want you to be guiltless. We don't want you to be guilty of shedding innocent blood. Okay, everybody got that? Now, listen to 1 Kings 2. It says this. I want to show you this phrase, innocent, right? Innocent of bloodshed. Then the king commanded Benaniah, do as he says. Strike him down, talking about Joab, and bury him, right? And so clear me, right? Kill Joab, and so clear me and my father's house of the guilt of the innocent blood that Joab had shed. So Joab had gone out and violated commandment 6, thou shalt not kill, and he shed innocent blood. The king tells Benaniah, get rid of him so that I won't be guilty of the innocent blood that Joab has shed, right? Everybody got that? When innocent blood is shed, the only form of payment is to shed the blood of the one that did the murder. That's what he says. It's covered up, right? Now, you can write these verses down and you can go back and look at them later, right? But I want to get them out here to you. Listen to Genesis 9. Noah, flood, waters, right? All that time. Now we're on dry land again. Noah's built an altar. We're in chapter 9 and God makes a covenant now with Noah. Right? Everything's wiped out. It's all gone, except for what's on the boat, right? God blessed Noah. Now the commandment is thou shalt not what? Right? Everybody say kill. Thou shalt not kill. He says, God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. I think it's amazing that the first thing that God tells Noah and his family to do is produce what? Life. Produce life. He says this, the fear and the dread of you is going to fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and upon every creature that moves along the ground and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and everything that moves will be food for you, right? Back in the day, before sin, I gave you the green plants. That was what you were supposed to eat. But after Adam and Eve sinned, I now give you what? Everything, right? But you must not eat meat that has its life blood still in it, right? Why? And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every what? Animal. If an animal sheds blood, I will hold him accountable for the shedding of the blood. And for each man, he says, too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. If a man takes the lifeblood out of another person, then God will demand payment in return. Everybody track and say yes. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. Reminding you, this commandment isn't a prohibition against all killing. For in the image of God, check this out. Why does God say this? Why is God so adamant to shed the blood of a person who kills? For in the image of God has God made mankind. Right? Let's read that again. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. This is years, years, and years before the Ten Commandments were given. And God already says, if a man kills another man by taking his lifeblood, right? Only way to make amends is to take that guy's blood. Why? For in the image of God has God made man. You want to know why God gave this commandment? Because God cares about those who bear his image. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many of you have had children? How many of you love having image bearers of you? Now I get it. They also do the bad, stupid things, and you're like, ooh, I taught them that, right? That stinks. But there are moments when the coolest thing in the world is looking at your children and know that they are image bearers of you. And here's the thing about being a parent. As your children get older and become adults, it's a really cool thing to sit down and talk with them as adults and realize who they've become, right? As they were raised through your home. They're incredible image bearers of who you are. Maybe you don't know this tonight. Maybe you don't know this online, but you need to know this. When God said, thou shalt not kill, what God wanted to protect the most was not his home, right? Was not his name. He wanted to protect those who bore his image. And let's be clear about the image bearers. They were sinful people, yes or no? He says, if you shed their blood, I demand an accounting of their blood, and I will get that accounting by taking your blood. Why? Because God made them in his image. You think God cares about his image bearers, yes or no? Yeah, certainly. Listen to Leviticus 17. I got 4 minutes. The Lord said to Moses, speak to Aaron, high priest, his sons, to Israelites, and say to them, this is what the Lord's commanded. Any Israelite, any Jew who sacrifices an ox, a lamb, a goat in the camp or outside of the camp, he says, instead of bringing it to the entrance to the tent of meeting to present it as an offering to the Lord in front of the tabernacle of the Lord, listen to this. So you're at home, you decide, I got a goat, I want to sacrifice it to God. You take your family, you go outside your tent, start a fire, you offer this goat to God. He says, if you do that, and you didn't take it to the tent of meeting to offer it on the altar, that man shall be considered guilty of what? What did the man kill, a human or an animal? An animal. Well, you already know how God feels about humans. He says, if you kill a man and shed his blood, I'm gonna demand your blood in exchange for that because you are in the image of God. He now says, if you're a Jew living in the tent and you sacrifice an animal in front of your tent or over at Aunt Betty's house, instead of taking it to the temple or taking it to the tent of meeting and putting it on the altar to honor me, you're now guilty of the same crime as if you killed your neighbor. Tracking? Why is God so adamant? This person has shed blood, animal blood, and must be cut off from his people. Check this out. A Jew or a foreigner living among them who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from his people. For the life of a creature is in the what? Is in the blood. And I've given the blood to you, say it with me, church, to make atonement or covering for yourselves on the altar. He says this, it's the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Therefore, I say to the Israelites, none of you may eat blood, nor may a foreigner living among you eat blood. Any Israelite or any alien living among you who hunts any animal or bird that may be eaten must drain out the blood and cover it with earth, because the life of every creature is its blood. That is why I have said to the Jews, you must not eat the blood of any creature. Let me wrap this up. God says, do not kill. Amen, church? It's not a prohibition against all killing, right? It's not about premeditation, right? It is, however, about a clean home. God says, don't defile my land by shedding innocent blood. I live here. It is about love. Jesus said, ultimately, murder comes from the heart, right? And our heart is revealed by our words. So everybody who loves Jesus online in here say, I got work to do, right? We don't want to violate it, but here's what I want you to hear. God's command against killing and shedding innocent blood is ultimately about protecting those of us who bear his image. And if you're online and in here and God made you, and he did, you are an image bearer. God was so adamant about your image or his image in you that he says, if somebody kills you and takes your innocent blood, I will get that payment back by taking their innocent blood. But then he says this, if you take an animal and you offer it to God in front of your tent instead of on the altar, you are guilty of the same crime as if you killed your neighbor. Why? Because the blood of the animal is to give atonement for your sins. He says this, I gave blood of animals, innocent animals, to cover your sin. If you sacrifice their innocent blood wrong, I can't atone for your sins. I love you, image bearer, and I don't want you taking the life of an animal, a goat, a sheep, or a cattle to cover, right, yourself and violate me. Because guess what? I care a great deal about my image bearers, so much so, I'll punish you for taking the blood of an animal that I created to cover your sins. I think that's amazing. And then the Bible says this, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You know what God ultimately did? He killed an innocent animal to make sure that his image bearers could live forever. Do you think God cares about you and your life? Yes or no, church? And the reason he cares about you is because he made you. You shall not kill. What? You should not kill my image bearer. You should never do anything to my image. You can't be using your words to kill my image. You can't be sacrificing animals to uncover my image. I care too much about you. This commandment is ultimately a picture of God's heart toward you. Somebody say amen. So Father, today teach us how much you love us. Teach us how much you care about us. Teach us how much you love us, that you gave us your son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You've always been about your image, and you've always been about those who bear your image. Help us to find the value and the love of God who wants us and desires us and gave his son for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church.